Question for you, Dr. Doak.
I'm ready.
How would you describe the Doakian aesthetic?
Oh, my aesthetic?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Sort of a cross between Banana Republic items on sale and Radiohead circa 1998.
Wait a minute. No, I mean... Okay.
You are listening to Weird Religion.
Hey, I'm Brian Doak.
And I'm Leah Payne.
This is Weird Religion.
A podcast for people who know religion is weird and love it anyway.
Do you think that's a bad description of my aesthetic?
I think it's imprecise. I would expect more from Dr. Brian Doak.
I don't know how. Okay.
Okay.
That's tough. I would have to think about that a little bit.
When you think about your beautiful home.
Yeah.
Your always well-decorated office. And also perhaps your personal style. I don't know if the style has, but also, yeah. Dr. Brian Doak, you are a talented painter. Well, you're an artsy person and photographer.
I would say that my aesthetic is like a somewhat... like an organized, messy kind of like sub-maximalism. I think in our house, we kind of have an aesthetic, and in our backyard that kind of we've described. We once looked at landscaping aesthetics, like what are they called? Mm-hmm. And we thought that maybe, and that's mostly the work of my wife, Susan, our backyard, but we thought that aesthetic could be called there's a landscaping aesthetic called romantic.
Oh, okay.
That I think is most like it. It's kind of like letting things grow in a sort of dramatic and slightly wild way, but mm-hmm. still doing some pruning. There's a major, major world-class resort in our small town called Allison.
Yes.
They use the romantic aesthetic. You
beautiful.
Know,
like
they
wine
don't,
country.
They don't really cut their grass, and they let a lot of like wildflowers and kind of weeds grow, but you trim it a little bit. It's kind of like that.
It's very beautiful.
Yeah.
The Allison is gorgeous.
I think that describes my office aesthetic too. I have tried to do very like trad professor vibes, like big tall shelves and, mm-hmm. you know, stuff mm-hmm. and things, but you know,
I ask that not just because I'm trying to get ideas to decorate my office, which is always underdone.
Yeah. Well,
but more because fairly recently in the news, there was a story of the death of an artist who so closely fused art with a particular, very particular religious aesthetic.
Oh,
and I want to get your take on this. I'm really surprising you, I can tell.
I would love it. I would love it so much.
The artist's name is Sam Butcher. Don't Google him yet.
Sam Butcher,
creator of Precious Moments dolls.
Oh, yes.
I would like for you to just,
since you're much more of a visual artist
than I am, and I can't think of anyone who I would like to hear more about their off-the-cuff thoughts about the fusion of a particular, very particular aesthetic and a form of religious identity that is the Precious Moments multiverse. Could we call it a multiverse?
I think so.
There's a Precious Moments doll for almost every occasion.
And we're going to have to mention the fact later. Just putting a pin in it.
I'm
full of corporate speak now. Let's circle back.
That's right. Now that you've advanced in now, your career, your corporate speak.
We're putting lots of pins in things, circling back lots of times.
Then going to lean in.
There is also, of course, a kind of spoof sculpture on the Precious Moments too.
Precious Mutations? I think it's called Precious Mutations. Yes.
So we're gonna come back to that.
Right.
So in case you were like, oh no, you better talk about the kind of like the dark version of Precious Moments. Okay, but what you're asking is, what is the aesthetic of the Precious Moments? How is it a religious aesthetic? Mm-hmm. What do you see? What do you find? And you don't want me to look at examples, and we don't want to talk about examples yet. We'll post some examples. It'll mm-hmm. no doubt be the mm-hmm. episode cover art will be some example of this. But just to speak freely about the Precious Moments.
Right.
The first thing, let me start here and ask you what you think as well. The first thing that comes to mind is the color scheme, the kind of muted light pastels.
Okay.
That's what I think of first. I'm thinking of color.
Oh, that's fascinating. Okay. There is definitely a somewhat limited.
What is it with evangelicals and Americans that we like muted light colored pastels, even in Christian bookstores, right? You get these kind of baby blues and pinks and light greens. And does that make people feel like they're in a nice place?
Just like suburbs or something. I'm not sure. I'm glad it was sort of T-minus to how long you were going to bring up Christian bookstores, because I do think, So for those of you who don't know what Precious Moments dolls look like, I can't imagine very many people who would listen to this podcast who are not familiar with them, but they're like these little porcelain, usually porcelain dolls with mm-hmm. just gigantic eyes that are always in these darling, precious poses. Mm-hmm. And they could be doing any number of activities. But oftentimes they're in some way related to a certain evangelical aesthetic. A lot of times they might be praying, you know.
Right.
And it's not just little porcelain sculpture dolls. I don't know. I'm obviously not an artist, but it could be paintings. It could be
Is there other
drawings?
I mean, so that's why you call it maybe a multiverse, a universe, an ecosystem.
An ecosystem. Yes, there's but so mainly many ways.
The porcelain. Mainly the porcelain.
That's what I
dolls,
always
though.
Think of.
And, yeah,
and
children.
They are muted.
Children.
Children.
A lot of children. Almost all children. Even if you get like, you know, like let's say, I'm sure there's a Precious Moments doll of like a married couple. Both of them look like they're 4 years old.
Sure. Yeah. They could be like a cake topper.
Yes.
You know, Precious Moments cake topper, but somehow they're children.
They're children.
Which is like.
Well, this actually, okay. This is great.
Could be a doctor, child doctor, could be.
Yes. The idea, of course, it could be built theologically on a verse, like Jesus says to his disciples, unless ye come to me as little children.
Faith of a child, yes.
Which of course would not mean, and this is tough when you teach in the field of theology, as I have sometimes dabbled in,
mm-hmm.
being a biblical scholar is often distinguished from being a theologian, although for popular audiences, you would not really distinguish. You'd just be like, yeah, all that Bible church priestly stuff. But okay, so when I've dabbled in theology, I have dabbled to tell students that theologically,
yes,
you may need to progress past being a 5-year-old or an 8-year-old in order to like be an adult.
I wasn't actually expecting a critique there.
Yes, okay. But it's weird though. I think this is a critique, of course, of evangelical theology, at least as it was practiced in, let's say, a past era, no mm-hmm. longer, which is that it never really grew up. You know, Mark Knoll, the scandal of the evangelical mind is that there is no evangelical mind, right?
Fascinating.
So in that aesthetic and in that ideology and in that figurine, the 4-year-olds married is actually appropriate. That's the idea. You just remain as a 4-year-old in your relationships and faith, like for life. And then that's supposed to be an ideal. I don't think it's a good idea to base that on that verse. I would think that for a smart, faithful person, you would think to approach the Lord and others as a child would not mean that you somehow never progress past being an 8-year-old in terms of your shrewdness and knowledge of the world. Jesus also says, ye must be, you know, wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove. So what's the wise as a serpent part? Not represented in the Precious Moments universe, just as there is no darkness represented in the world of the Painter of Light, Thomas Kincaid. Another classic that we might bring up. So these do really, I mean, there's a whole thing here. Yes, I think the 4-year-old married couple, we have to see if there's an actual example of that.
There
but
definitely
I bet there definitely is.
Yes, I've got one right now, and the title is With This Ring. And it's
they look like they're 5.
They're like 5, yeah.
But
mostly because the heads are so large, because you know, like kids get disproportionate.
You never get past 5 years old. You maintain that kind of innocence forever is the idea, but of course you do not.
Right. That's kind of the nature, especially of marriage.
Marriages grow up. I've been married now for 22 years.
Well, okay, so and, I've got a...
You know, there's some things that happen.
Yeah, I've got a question about that actually. So who would we hold? This is the question I wanted to ask you about, because for those people who don't know, Dr. Doak and I have worked together, probably our most the biggest tension that we've had in an artistic moment has come when we were trying to do playlists for a class that we coached.
Oh my gosh. Why would you trigger that? Why would you bring that up?
That whole class is sort of traumatic.
Why would you bring that up just out of nowhere? I was not ready for that.
But I guess our tastes, you know, really. But when we were, you know, when you're choosing art, one question that always comes up over and over again is who's responsible for the meaning that other people get from art?
Sure.
Is the artist responsible? So for example, in an obit that I read by Daniel Silliman, who wrote this for Christianity Today, he's a really good historian.
Oh.
And he writes some of my favorite obits, by the way. If anyone who's important in the Christianish world dies, I will Google his name and the it just and the person just to see what he's written about them. So he has a great quote from the artist himself, Mr. Butcher, said when he was asked about Precious Moments, he said, "I'm still trying to figure out what it's about. I'm just an artist. I just license my art." So it was sort of like he, you know, and he licensed it for like tens of millions of dollars.
Meaning he just kind of created these things. He's not even sure. He can't say the meaning. He's not sure.
And yet there are clearly layers upon layers of meaning are attached to them.
Yes.
And it sort of almost depends on how many you have. Like I grew up in a home that had a couple, but only like two Precious Moments dolls.
What's the guy's name again?
His name's Sam Butcher.
Sam Butcher. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sam Butcher. That's confusing because the person who does the Precious Mutations name is Keith Busher.
Oh, weird. Maybe
Busher, not Butcher. Some sort of Sam, like Keith, psychic a little bit of mirroring. Maybe it's a fake name. We'll come back to that.
So anyway, that was one question that I thought of. Like, you know, is he responsible for this kind of wedding of a childlike, maybe childish, you seem to be implying, sort of form of doing theological meaning making?
Yes.
Or is he responsible or is he not responsible?
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well,
can you detach yourself? I'm guessing.
I think, I mean, this is like a thing you can do in art criticism generally, which is like, do you do an historical approach where you situate the artist historically? You do a biographical type approach. One could run afoul in the realm of intention, but most historians definitely think it's legitimate to talk about intention as well as history, right? The context in which it's embedded. So if you were going to do the historical approach, let's say, to this, you would want to know things about Mr. Butcher and his theology. Was he a Christian? Did he create these, you know, like, did this begin? Like, just, you'd want to know everything, right?
Right, right.
On the other hand, maybe the quote that you quoted from the obituary seems to be suggesting that we would take another approach, which I don't know, in art history terms, I'm not probably getting the terms right here, but it's a more, it's more of a, like a reader response type, viewer response type thing.
What response do you have?
Well, is right in front of me right now? I see a painting. I see Picasso. I see the woman with the fractured face. Do I invoke the fact that Picasso was a known domestic abuser?
Right.
And treated women, you know, in very, very rough ways. And, you know, these images of these women who have been now commoditized and materialized and fractured in his paintings, you know. Or do you just say, no, what does this appear? Maybe, I don't know, maybe someone views it and they're like, oh, this woman is beautiful. She's strong. And now that's the meaning, not the meaning of the crying, fractured person.
Right.
I don't know what other meaning, though, in this case. It's kind of weird. It's like, what, are we supposed to think that Butcher's intention here was maybe to create a horrifying world, but if people take it as being these childish representations of Christian innocence, that's just like their decision, man. Or like in this case, the aesthetic is so clear and so consistent that what are we supposed to think he thought he was creating when he made them? I don't, probably nothing negative. Like if I took a negative spin on it in my first blush answer, like, yes, this seems to be a mirror of the failure of evangelical theology to grow up and deal with hard things. You know, maybe that would be unfair to impute that to him. That's more just like my response to the aesthetic.
That would be the reader response.
And there could be another way where you say, yeah, we know that this is like Thomas Kincaid, the painter of light, of course, was an alcoholic, lived a very
disturbing,
a non-traditional moral life, maybe in some ways, let's say for a perfect Christian painter of light. But, you know, he's quoted as saying things like, look, like it's like he's creating an alternate world in which the fall never happened.
Right.
In which there's this other, and it's not in denial. Maybe you could say it's in denial, but you could say, no, there's a place for just innocent beauty in the world. Does everything need to tell
you?
Why you gotta be so serious? Can you not just create this thing? Right. So that would be the other side to that.
Right. Well, I think that's really fascinating. And a couple of things come to mind. One thing is if we were doing a road show, I would definitely,
which we will.
We need to. I would want to go to Missouri, where apparently
live there for 6 years.
There is a church with 84 murals covering 5,000 square feet. This is from Daniel Silliman's obit, all with biblical themes done in the Precious Moment style. And I would want to have Dr. Brian Doak take me on a Bible journey, Precious Moment style.
Can we look at some images now? And friends listening, of course, we will be linking.
We will post
many links so you can look around.
Certainly.
Oh, my goodness. Precious Moments
Chapel. I just could not wait for this
part. The Precious Moments Chapel. I'm going to start looking at these right now. Carthage, Missouri.
I can't believe I beat you to this because this just seems like a Dr. Brian Doak.
Oh, but my goodness. Look at them.
They are extremely elaborate.
I don't like this at all. I do not. Okay. Can I take a little bit of a jog away
take
here
a detour,
to say?
Take a detour.
I recently visited Rome, Italy.
Right.
I recently toured the Vatican Museum.
This is like Sistine Chapel.
I saw the Sistine Chapel in person. I was blown away by almost the unreality of it. I believe it was the German romantic poet Goethe who said that something like, you can't know what one human being is capable of on earth until you have seen the Sistine Chapel.
Oh gosh, wow. And what
I experienced what he meant.
Wow.
Many of you listening probably have seen the Sistine Chapel. So, but I'm looking at this and it's like a weird childlike mimicking of elements of something like a church you'd find in Rome.
Right. And yet
I just don't know what to say or what to think. The little angels. Okay. So the ceiling, let's just take the ceiling. The ceiling is like this blue ceiling with these little tiny cherubic Precious Moments characters are flying around like little babies.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking at Jesus teaching the disciples who are all little children or teaching somebody. I mean, there are just images here. It just looks weird. Can you imagine if you went to church in a church that had that?
No, because it's a different aesthetic.
And you know, and so I'm seeing one of these. It says painting for his deceased son, Philip, picture of Precious Moments Park, Carthage. I don't know if that's something different from the Precious Moments Chapel or here's a picture of him creating the murals. Mm-hmm. He looks like Michelangelo. He's there.
Well, apparently he was referred to as the Michelangelo of Missouri.
I get it.
Eminem.
I mean, I see why. It's an overwhelming display of the Precious Moments aesthetic. You're really immersed in it here.
I think about what kind of songs would I feel like singing or what kind of prayers would I feel like praying in that environment? I'm not totally sure.
That right there.
You know?
Right, that.
What kind of songs?
What prayer would you pray in the face of such art?
That's really interesting.
That's a great question.
I would love to just, you know what I would love? Is to hear from people who have spent time in there.
Oh, has
and have had a spiritual experience and like what did you feel compelled? Because, you know, I went to one of the oldest Catholic church in Oregon, I think, and maybe in the West, is really close to here, St. Paul, in St. Paul, Oregon.
Oh yeah.
And it's
Mount Angel.
St.
Paul. St. Paul is different.
Yeah, it's kind of on the way to Mount Angel.
Yes.
And
sorry,
it's
confusion
like,
of Oregon small towns.
It's Oregon style in the sense that it was sort of like the Wild West when they were making these churches. Yeah. So it's a little bit rustic, but there are tons of statues. It's very traditionally like, I would say the sort of, whatever you're imagining an old Catholic church to look like, it kind of looks like that.
Yes.
And it's somber, I would say, when you walk in. Mm-hmm. And so when you're like saying things that talk about somber, serious things, it feels natural. And it would be sort of strange. Like the kind of church that I grew up in was very celebratory. And so it was like big, huge drum kit, like, you know, lights. And we sort of aspired to the like fog machine and stuff like that. But it felt like we're here to have a party. And so then I was thinking, what would the response to this kind of world be? Because in some ways, you know, I always think of Christmas ornaments when I think of Precious Moments dolls.
Sure, that's natural.
You know,
that's
you see them on little trees. And so that's sort of a micro, very domestic spiritual experience, maybe, if you're going to be having one with that. But this would be so overwhelming. So I just would like to go.
It's overwhelming, and it's overwhelming with such a particular kind of thing that just doesn't strike one as adult or inspiring. I mean, this wouldn't inspire many people. Like you said, though, I would be interested to hear from somebody whom it does inspire.
Yes, I want to hear.
About why, because I'm not the audience for this so much. It'd be the same way as if you took like my grandma and were like, hey, listen to this like hardcore death metal. Do you like this?
Yes, like, and or some like, sort of weirdo.
No, I don't like this. It's like, well, okay, there's nothing wrong with her, right?
Or like Bon Iver.
Sure, like Bon Iver, who hasn't come out with an album in like 94 years.
Brian's been checking.
Yeah, I mean, every once in a while, you're like, you Google Bon Iver new album, ?
Yeah, well, you know, I think he was on a Taylor Swift. Anyway, we digress. But yeah, so, okay, another question that I have for you, and I'm sending you an email right now for you to see it, because I didn't want you to see it.
Okay.
So like many artists, he continued to develop. And later in life, he developed a new style.
Yes.
And I want you to see it. And we will post pictures or links to stuff on our in the show notes.
Okay.
But take a look at this other aesthetic.
All right.
And just see, could you imagine this in the Precious Moments?
While I wait for the email to arrive, can you reflect briefly, a little technological aside, on the idea that Gmail now doesn't send your email immediately because they want to give you a chance to retract the email?
Oh gosh, I hate that.
Have you ever retracted an email? I never have.
Yeah, because I'm a very high anxiety person.
I see.
Yeah. Well, you are more precise with your
fast. The page you sent me doesn't exist.
No. Okay, fine. I'll turn my computer around.
All right.
Okay, ready?
Ready. Ho! Oh, I saw something. Okay. Okay. Wow.
So.
I dislike that just as much, personally.
I don't even.
However, that's very different.
It is very different.
It's sort of different. In terms of the pastel colors, similar.
True. You know what? When you see it this way. Apparently he was inspired by Picasso.
Yes.
And they're definitely modernist.
Yes.
And I have a big.
So wait, can you back up here? My mind went blank. What did you just show me?
I showed you later pieces of art created by.
By.
Sam Butcher.
Sam Butcher. Okay. Uh-huh. Same person. I see the continuity.
Mm-hmm.
I see the lines. I see the soft edges.
Okay,
so maybe maybe we should say, listeners, if you haven't clicked on the link to look at this yet, the later paintings, these are of sumptuous nude bodies.
Yes.
In various states of repose.
And what is fascinating, I mean, I would say that it would be definitely, you can tell that there's Picasso in there. Mm-hmm. I'm not an art expert by any means, but I do like mid-mod stuff.
Sure.
And so you can definitely see that there's a sort of mid-century, it maybe kind of art deco when I'm looking at it.
Yeah, let me see it again. Turn the computer around again. Yeah. It almost appears a little bit like illustration, cartoon.
Yeah.
A little bit art deco. I see what you mean, those flowers kind of coming down.
Yeah.
And a little like a stained glass kind of feel.
The curves of the body. Yeah.
So Matisse inspired, Henri Matisse vaguely inspired.
I recently went to Hoover Dam and they have these kind of, cause it was, you know, part of the, I think it's a WPA project if I am right about that. But anyway, so Depression era kind of art, like the kind of edges to it.
Yeah.
But all that to say.
Big bodies.
Big departure.
Big bodies, big bold lines, big outlines around things.
And the faces aren't super expressive.
Sure. There's kind of a. Mask-like faces.
Yeah. So which is different than the Precious Moments dolls, because those dolls do have a really specific expression at all times.
Okay, now I've got an image wall up on Google of various Precious Moments.
Okay.
Just, wow, yes.
Favorites? Do you have any favorites?
I can't pick one right now. It looks like a young priest praying.
I think if I were in a house that had a bunch of these, I think I'd be I would be reluctant to turn off all the lights.
It'd be the
for
kind,
whatever reason.
It'd be the kind of thing where you could be murdered at any moment.
Buy one of these dolls.
Okay, but let's turn briefly, if we may, to the Precious Mutations.
Yes.
Of a certain Keith Buscher, not to be confused with Sam Butcher. Now, what are these? It looks like the individual has taken Precious Moments dolls of popular types and created mutant forms mm-hmm. of these.
It's actually kind of a fun arts and crafts project.
Absolutely. Now, is this artist using the actual dolls and adding stuff to it, or is he creating entirely new versions of the things from scratch?
These are dolls that he modifies. Okay. This person modifies. In fact, I've been following him for a while on Instagram.
Very good.
And he does these before and after shots that are really interesting. Oh. That's why I'm like, it's kind of a cool art project.
Yes. You know what these remind me of? Tell me you remember this from being a kid. This is something only for Gen X. Garbage Pail.
Garbage Pail Kids. You beat me to it.
Yes. I was trying to explain Garbage Pail Kids to my Patch Kids. I was trying to explain Garbage Pail Kids to my my teenage daughter the other day.
How would you even start?
And I explained it, and she just was looking at me with this look like, ew. What's wrong with you? And then I'm like, look, I'll show you. And I showed her. And then she's just like, why would anyone do that?
Well, did you first start off with Cabbage Patch Kids?
I just don't think she got it.
Kids these days.
Kids.
But yeah, the Precious Mutator, I'm hoping that they will do Mr. Busher will do some sort of commemorative, you know, RIP. Oh, they did. Okay. There's a really sweet post on Instagram.
Oh, really?
Sam Butcher, the owner, founder, and artist behind Precious Moments, passed away. While I may jokingly modify his figurines, I have nothing but respect for his kind and generous nature.
Oh,
that is so sweet. His goal was to sow love and kindness through his work, a noble and admirable goal. That's a feel-good moment right here. You don't always have those.
What do you make, though, of this claim, which I sort of just stumbled upon, was not mm-hmm. very well developed, though, that I suggested in response to Precious Moments, the idea that, at least as a theological response or as an intellectual response, that they could, whether intentionally or not on the part of the artist, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that they could represent something of the perpetual childhood or never-ending adolescence of evangelical theology, or alternatively, a kind of theology that has been reticent to recognize the death, failure, mm-hmm. in ways that other Christian traditions, in ways that evangelicals could learn from other Christian traditions. Let's put it that way.
Well, I will say that I think there's something to that, and I'll give an example from my very recently published research on contemporary Christian music, which was, I think, the sonic, in many ways, the top-selling contemporary Christian music might be called the sonic equivalent of Precious Moments, in the sense that it was like relentlessly positive and had a very narrow emotional range to it. Yes. As a whole, there are always exceptions, I should say.
Of course.
But one of the people who responded to a survey that I created about contemporary Christian music talked about how, you know, the target audience for contemporary Christian music was like white suburban evangelicals.
Mm-hmm.
And she found as a young adult when she went to college that was emotionally and spiritually very unsatisfying for her. And she met someone in college who introduced her to Black gospel music, which is a much broader emotional, spiritual range and has room for suffering, for
anger,
death, for fear. Anger. Yeah. Right. And she said that was sort of like a world-shifting experience for her, because she had been sort of raised on a sonic diet of all Precious Moments all the time. So I think there's something there to, you know, like maybe that's what Precious Mutator is getting at, that there's nothing wrong with, you know, the specific range,
mm-hmm.
but there's also something that's sort of satisfying about taking it outside of those boundaries. So sure. I like looking at the Precious Mutator. I would never show my small kids these because it would freak them out.
Sure.
But they're super interesting.
It also suggests something like a David Lynchian theology of anytime there's this innocent thing, there's also this evil thing that threatens it.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime that there's an evil thing, there's also a beautiful, heroic, innocent thing that could threaten the evil thing. And in the Lynchian theology, of course, these two things just live on forever. In the Christian vision, it would be more teleological and there would be a defeat of all evil. The Precious Moments world seems to live in a world, though, in which that evil either never existed or has already been defeated, whereas the Precious Mutations kind of allow us to see, let's say, the kind of spiritual battle, even if comedically in some of these, they're not always meant to be serious, right?
Wow.
That battle is ongoing, aesthetically at least.
This has been a production of Weird Religion. A podcast for people who know religion is weird but love it anyway. Follow us on Twitter or Instagram. Follow us into the ocean. Allow your heart to blossom. Retreat into the gorgeous and haunted forests of your mind. Find us there.